BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
The boss is back!
Just in case you've forgotten,
Triple H is my favorite wrestler.
You were an ass long before I made one out of you.
With your host, Tim Stein.
There's nothing more pathetic than an aging hipster.
Mace.
Look at my sexy body.
Omega.
Nerd alert.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Mo! Bloody Mo! We're not supposed to talk about the Bloody Mo, but there's the Bloody Mo winking me in the face.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I feel so good. I feel so numb, yeah.
And welcome to WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where you can tell when our producers had a little too much free time this week because we got a new intro.
Wasn't me.
Well, someone had a new intro. Someone was bored and had way too much time on their hands and had recently watched Austin Powers. That's all I gathered. This is Omega, the be-all and all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yes, I am here. Not that that's ever a great accomplishment, but I am here.
Well, it is sometimes. Depending.
I'm the one who rocks up every week. Just like yourself. You know, it's that other guy that we got to worry about showing up.
And that other guy would be the one and only Tim Stein, who was cackling like a madman earlier. It's completely silent now, though.
Do we take a shot?
No, you don't take a shot.
You take shots at you all the time.
You just don't, because you take shots all the time. You don't need to take any extra shots, unless it's Jack Daniels. Is it Jack Daniels? Then take a shot. Now that you've taken shots. No? Okay.
No, it's not, but, you know, maybe we should give him a proper intro, because, you know, now it kind of lacked a little bit, but, you know. Here's a proper intro for Tim Stein.
Oh, God, no. Shut that goddamn thing off.
What?
We don't need to be reminded of that, thanks.
Tim is now 27.
Yes, I'm finally 27 years old. Oh, my God. Hey, wait a minute. I was 27 last year. Awesome. I'm 27 again. Groundhog Day.
Exactly, and Starscream Josh says, birthday punches.
Well, he's too far away for me to punch. Sorry, Josh, homie, don't play that game.
Wow.
What?
I said, wow, that's awesome.
In living color reference.
Yeah, going back to the 90s, when I was 27.
You know what? What's funny is it was on, like, FXX last night at, like, 2:30 in the morning.
And they saw it because you can't sleep. You have insomnia.
No, I was doing a show last night at 2:30 in the morning.
There's a difference. I see.
There's a difference.
I see.
What happened to the reboot of that show they were going to do?
I don't know.
They couldn't get the rights from Jim Carrey.
Or J-Lo's ass, either one.
Or J-Lo's ass.
She was a fly girl.
Yes, yes, yes. God, that was way back. Just like the machine. All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're back. Yeah, we took a hiatus last week because, well, on top of anything else going on, there really wasn't anything to talk about. So we didn't really put anything together. At least I'm being honest.
That's kind of true.
That's kind of more than just a little bit true. So, yes, Josh, that was white, but guess what? I happen to be Caucasian. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And, yes, I did have a birthday on Friday. Let's just, you know, move on from there.
Let's return to the roast of Tip. No,
let's not say we did, okay? Yeah, let's just hop into it because I'm feeling like absolute crap, so let's fly through this as quickly as we can. I want to go lie down. Win and fail for the week, the basic standard thing that we've been doing for the last couple of months here. Omega, what was your win for the week?
The Stooges 2.0.
Bum, 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 bum.
I got such a kick out of seeing Mercury and Noble back on TV.
The cruiserweight division.
Yeah, that was such a good line.
That whole
night between the Stooges and Dean Ambrose was just amazing.
They sent out the cruiserweight division after me. It's just the way he said it. No inflection in his voice or anything.
Yeah.
No raising of octaves.
Complete deadpan.
It was good. That was damn good. Okay, so that was your win, the Stooges.
Stooges and anything involved in the Stooges, though. For Joey Mercury bald still freaks me out.
Why?
It's just not natural. It's just weird.
I see.
It's like the last time I saw him, it was with Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, rocking the long hair that they did. It's like seeing me completely bald out of nowhere.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't check in on Joey Mercury. So I don't keep track on his hairline to notice the change. I just go, oh God, that's like 5 pounds of hair that's no longer there.
Well, okay. Networks. Hey, Mace, what was your win for the week?
My win for the week is wrestling related. Not sort of, well, it is directly tied in with WWE stuff, but at the same time, it's nothing that WWE themselves have produced to really, you know, make this topic even more confusing than it really should be. 2K announced the My Career Mode for WWE 2K15, and oh my god, thank you for listening. Basically, you have to work your way through the training center as the little tutorial mode. Then you have to work your way through NXT, then get onto the main roster, work your way onto pay-per-views, titles, etc., all the way up until the point where you become a Hall of Fame candidate. It's the career mode people have been screaming for the last 5 years. And all it took was a change of publisher to get it. That's my win for the week.
Actually
get to put my creator wrestler through, like, proper WWE stuff and get yelled at by Bill Demont.
Can we accept that as an official win, judges?
It's wrestling related. It's WWE. So
I'm just waiting for Rock to play the ding 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 bell clip. That says that it's accepted.
Rock's probably gone to have a drink or something.
Well, he's not watching football tonight, is he, Mace?
No.
Kind of got slaughtered this week, I take it. Who's playing tonight, anyway?
It was the Patriots and somebody else. And I tuned out earlier. It was like, Pat's got up like 12-0. I'm like, eh, screw this. I'll watch something else. Oh, look, Simpsons.
Did you watch the Family Guy Simpsons crossover?
I did. That was exceptionally well done.
That was very – I'm impressed. And I just – you know, yeah, we're already off the rails here. Omega, you watched it, didn't you?
No.
Oh, okay. So spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Oh, God. Spoilers for Family Guy and Simpsons.
Yes, yeah, the Family Guy Simpsons crossover. Spoiler alert. You heard about the huge brouhaha about the non-joke that was in there with Stewie and Bart when they're calling Moe's Tavern?
Yes.
I mean, it was a bigger deal to have people up in arms over it than the actual thing being said, I think.
Oh, please. These days, if you fart in the wrong direction, people get up in arms. Today's society is just too fucking bubble-wrapped.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible. But, no, it was done quite well. I love all of the inside jokes that only a diehard Family Guy or, Simpsons guy would actually get.
Like when they actually rock up at the border of Springfield and Stewie asks, what state is it in? And Brian goes, I think we're contractually obligated not to say.
Yep. There are a few of them too. And what was it at the very beginning? Oh, when they're talking, we're watching a crossover on TV.
Yeah.
Oh, crossovers, those are the best because it's the best of the both shows and it by no means indicates the downward trend in viewership. Oh, that was,
yes, if people haven't watched it, it's definitely worth the watch.
Oh, yeah, no, you've got to see it. I mean, even if you've ever watched 1 hour of Family Guy or 1 hour of The Simpsons, you got to watch the crossover because that's great. That was good. It was really – it was entertaining. Very lowbrow, but still highly entertaining. Moving right along, I'm going to let you know what my win was for the week. It's Dean Ambrose. You got all of these news reports saying that, you know, insider sources are reporting, yada, 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 Dean Ambrose is not ready to main event the thing. Has any of these people listened to him on the microphone, listened to what he says when he talks, just listen to him talk? He's got the moves in the ring. He's exciting to watch. The fans are behind him. Then he gets on that microphone, and so far what he's been saying – when he's been allowed to actually go for it, is if not gold, then platinum. It's really good. And the whole thing with Ambrose and the Money in the Bank briefcase on Monday night with the green goo.
Yeah, that was just the great Muta being stuffed into the suitcase.
Yeah, well, the first thing that hit my mind was that TV show on YTV. Where somebody says the wrong word and they get slimed from the ceiling.
Can't do that on television.
That's the one. That was the first thing that hit my, you know, entered my mind. But that's, you know, I'm probably more recently a viewer of that program than a lot of people because of my son who used to watch that when he was a little younger. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Alanis Morissette first showed up.
So, yeah. But the other, you know, Muta was the second thought. So. And it wasn't because JBL pointed that out. But I'm really being entertained by Dean Ambrose and pretty much everything he's doing on TV right now. It's to me at least like he can do no wrong at the moment. And I don't know. It's a totally different angle, totally different storyline, totally different concept and the whole bit. But I'm getting shades of almost a Steve Austin type character coming through with Dean Ambrose. Now, guys, disagree with me if you want because that's perfectly fine. But I'm just getting that feeling that he has that elusive it we like to talk about, whether or not an up and comer or main eventer has, and I think Dean Ambrose has it.
He does. He's got something different. That's the thing. Like, I don't really think he has it, but he has something different, and that's what's gravitating viewers towards him.
We're going to get into that in depth in our second segment. So I don't want to let you ramble on too much about it with before we actually get there. I'm trying to pull myself back too, but that was my win. Mace, what was your fail?
Second hour of Raw. This was the second hour of past week where you had things like Mark Henry jobbing out to Bo Dallas, the handicap match with Brie going up against Cameron and Eva Marie, and oh my god awfulness. And then following that up with Titus O'Neil and Heath Slater going up against Los Matadores, where they focused on a fucking bunny rabbit and the Hornswoggle in a gator suit.
Okay. So the
it was
entire...
the worst. It was that worst hour of television that I've watched.
the entire hour turned your stomach.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair enough. Omega?
I was going to say the same damn thing.
Okay, well...
It's the exact same thing. I wasn't going to pick anything out. It's just that whole block.
Okay, well, we're all pretty much very close to being on the exact same page. Well, you guys are, like, on the same line, but I'm very close to being on the same page. I'm going to zero in, narrow it down. I can understand what they were trying to do with storylines and such like that for the most part, but the gator suit has to go. Who's eating potato chips?
Gator suit has to go. Bunny has to go.
Yeah. Who's eating potato chips? Omega.
Yeah, that's a Pop-Tart.
Oh, it's a Pop-Tart. They still make those things? Oh, my God.
Man. I don't mind the bunny suit so much because it's gonna lead to an amusing reveal.
It's going to be, well, I've been figuring it's going to be a good reveal, and whoever they wind up putting under the bunny suit is going to wind up actually out distancing what's his name?
Yeah, exactly.
Even without the reveal,
he's already
the bunny is eclipsing Adam Rose.
Mm-hmm. Already. Yeah, you're right.
And you got to remember, but let's not get our hopes up for whoever's meant to be under the bunny suit, because this is WWE. They love building our hopes and dreams and then smashing them with a wrecking ball.
Well, you want to speculate at all who they might choose to actually wind up under the suit for the reveal?
The two candidates I've heard the most rumors are Sami Zayn and Darren Young.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Zayn's far more likely.
I can't see it being Darren Young.
Thing is, I could see it being Bad News Barrett just to completely destroy that great gimmick he once had.
No. Gee, well, yes, Mace is being pessimistic again.
No, Mace is thinking WWE creative.
Yeah, so pessimistic.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Would it be interesting if it turns out they stuffed Tyson Kidd under the bunny suit?
You know what? I could actually buy that.
See, the trick is, it has to be someone who can actually do the things that this bunny is doing, you know.
Yeah.
Top rope splashes and super kicks and whatnot.
Well, what's
which
his name?
Tyson South can African. Actually do, which is...
Tyson can do, yes.
Yeah, or, oh, Jesus, why can't I remember his name? He's been out of action for so long. The South African. Tyson Kidd's tag team partner.
Justin Gabriel.
Justin Gabriel. Yeah, now, in the realm of plausibility, would either one of those two fit? You kind of already said, you know, like just based on what the bunny's done so far, these guys can do it.
It kind of fits. If it was Justin Gabriel, it'd be far funnier for the bunny to start throwing out 450 splashes.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting star presses and the like. I don't think it's him just because at this point, I think if the bunny takes off his head and it's Justin Gabriel, no one's going to know who the hell it is.
At this point, because he's been out for so long.
Yeah. And he wasn't that high on the card when he was in there.
No. And Tyson Kidd's not really very far up on the card, but at least he's been wrestling regularly on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. right, on Main Event and NXT?
So far, yes.
For the most part. And once in a blue moon, we actually do see him on Raw or SmackDown. So the crowd would probably be more readily accepting of my buddy TJ. I would hope that they make the reveal at being him.
You know what I want?
What do you want, Omega? Tell us. We're curious.
Mm-hmm. I want this to lead into some kind of feud where the bunny has to go up against someone else's, an opponent of someone else's choosing, who happens to be dressed as a familiar Black Knight. So bunny, Black Knight, in the match. It's Sami Zayn under the bunny's... Bunny head comes off, it's Sami Zayn. Knight helmet comes off, it's Wade Barrett.
Zayn and Barrett.
And at that point, you've just ruined two extremely good performers.
Yeah, well,
because let's face it, nobody will take them seriously after that.
Well, if you do that to Barrett, doesn't he follow the same route as Damian Sandow in a sense?
Well, no. Yeah. He's just coming out as a ruse.
Mm-hmm.
The suit never comes back. You know, and he turns the bunny into roadkill. I just think if I'm going to make a Monty Python reference, I need a British guy in there.
Yeah, I saw where it was going. I was going to suggest God on commentary. Because all you just hear is, get on with it. God and JBL doing commentary. Then JBL would actually
shut the fuck up. Each other God. Both of them just calling each other God.
The wrestling god and the god of everything.
Shawn Michaels jumping out of the crowd. Where were you?
You were booked for SummerSlam and you never showed.
Yeah, semi-obscure reference for the casual listener.
Shawn Michaels just turned heel on God.
Cutting a promo on the... yeah, never mind. Anyway. Moving right on. So that's our win and our fail for this week. You guys starting to think that Triple H might be a bit of a bigot?
The guy just put the three black wrestlers in the same team?
Yeah.
Well, let me narrow the focus down. Maybe he's bigoted against Hispanics.
I
can see where this is going, but I'm trying not to make the Mexican jokes.
You're afraid to look like a bigot.
Oh, fuck, I am a bigot.
Well, you guys heard about the Ricardo interview this past week, right?
Yeah, Mr. Sour Grapes.
Yeah, saying that Triple H was somewhat nasty in his verbiage, not towards just Ricardo, but Del Rio as well, and Rey Mysterio doesn't want to come back to WWE because of whatever, and they're alluding to the fact that, you know, maybe he's having problems with a certain higher-up in the company.
The thing is, there's a lot of reasons why you can't have Mysterio back.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy's in there for 2 months, gets injured for six.
Yeah. But when you stop and think about it, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, the WWE, even when Triple H started taking control, they know they've got a big Hispanic market. It's, you know, getting bigger in the U.S. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They've been trying to build the next Rey Mysterio. You know, they tried Del Rio, and Del Rio has the personality of a tortilla chip. You have Sin Cara, who's more injury prone than, well, the original more injury prone than Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, the original Sin Cara. Well, you know, here's the thing about that. You got two people claiming that Triple H is racist, and that's why they're not with the company anymore. Never mind that as much as we enjoyed Ricardo, there was really nothing for him at the time. And never mind that Del Rio beat the crap out of some, you know, office worker, and then claimed that it was because the guy said something racist. And I still have a problem with this, because not anywhere in any of the reports or any mention or anything else like that about Del Rio's release, was anything specifically pointed out that what the guy said was a bigoted remark? Yeah, I think it was just taken as a racist remark because Del Rio happens to be Mexican. If he was anybody else and the guy had said that about, wouldn't have happened.
I saw the joke. It's got a lot of different contexts it can be taken as. It's not necessarily something that had to be racist.
Mm-hmm. But it's just...
Look, it's just one of those things in, like, especially in business. When you have somebody who has an ethnic background, whether, you know, Mexican, African-American, Chinese, whatever, if they fuck up and they get fired, the mm-hmm. first thing they scream, racism!
Yep.
That's what all this stuff with Del Rio and Ricardo is. Mm-hmm. They lost their jobs. First word out of their mouth is, this person's racist.
Because they fired me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how Ricardo's interview read. It was basically, I was out there doing my job, and I wasn't getting what I wanted, so mm-hmm. I asked for my release. But racism!
Yeah. I can't stand people who play the race card when things don't go their way. I mean, it's totally different if it's legitimate. Then yeah, okay, and I'll back you 100% because I don't believe in bigotry. But, and I hate the term reverse racism because racism is racism. It doesn't matter who it's coming from, what ethnicity it's being uttered by. If it's bigotry, it's bigotry, bottom line. But it's a form, I think, is it not a form of racism to claim that you got fired because you were a racist? Or because the person who fired you was racist, even though nothing really, honestly, to goodness, racial ever happened.
Well, it's one of those it's one of those trigger words. You know, racism, sexism, all that type of stuff, all these isms that we have come to bring into our own lives are basically trigger words of defense. It's not. You know, a lot of people get fired because they're not doing their job properly or because the company's having to, you know, fire some people so they can keep their bottom line, keep the company in production or, you know, there's somebody is fucked up. And all of a sudden, we're throwing isms out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but, you know, sure, there might be those cases, but they're like 2, 3% of the firing.
Well, not the
80-odd percent that people keep claiming.
Yeah, well, let's face it. In today's day and age, if you go to the grocery store and accidentally bump up against a woman while you're bending over to grab that prime rib roast that you want to cook for dinner, she can claim that you sexually assaulted her because you touched her elbow, for crying out loud.
Oh, no, I can go you one better. There's a term out there nowadays called stare rape.
Stare? Which, right, what the?
Yeah, that's called looking at a woman.
Please.
Anyway, sorry, Omega, I cut you off earlier. You wish to contribute, so please contribute.
We wish you to contribute, so please do.
I don't know if I can compete with stare rape. Mace is right. I mean, these are words you get thrown around just because it's a defense mechanism, and nothing will get you sympathy like saying you were the victim in this situation. Because it really, you wanna believe it was something like that. You know, surely it's not that I just suck at my job. Surely it was because, you know, I wasn't born in this country. Or my skin's a little bit darker. It's not only just like a psychological defense mechanism. It's the other way around. It's a form of attack as well.
Yeah,
and it's a way of striking back at someone that wronged you. you know, the, you know, Ricardo, yeah, he's pissed off. He wanted to wrestle and they wouldn't let him wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was at the top, you know, he was doing something good with Del Rio. You know, he could go in the ring. They just wouldn't give him the shot. And that's what happened. You know, there's one of your reasons for release. But at the same time, I'm losing my point here.
So, I think we're following you.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm not following me right now. I know it comes across bitter.
No. Sour grapes is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Yeah. I don't think it's racist to go, well, he fired me because he's racist.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's looking to defame Triple H. You know, because that's a real easy way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're right. This is true. It's just something that really bothers the hell out of me that somebody, you know, somebody does that when there's no real way of, you know, you can't back it up, really, honestly. There's no meritorious way of backing that up. So.
Yeah, unless he sneaks like a camera or something and catches Triple H saying something that is very racist on camera, well, there is no real proof.
That's totally it. I mean, he claims that Triple H at one point in time called him, you know, he was calling him a bumblebee.
Yeah, and then he goes and defines it about it was the way he was taking bumps or the way he was selling moves or something. And it was a broad term across all the guys that were training at NXT.
And mainly
and then suddenly,
at white Americans whenever Triple H used it.
Yeah, and it just so happens that now that Triple H used it with Ricardo, Ricardo's gone, that's racist. You know,
yeah,
it's like, dude, chillax.
Seriously. I
mean, basically, you were the one who asked for your release. He states it in the interview. I asked for my release. You have no way or no right to be bitter with the company.
Mm-hmm.
When you were doing your job, and hell, you were doing more than your job, the company just didn't have anything for you. It's a fact of wrestling that if the company doesn't have something for you to do, they'll at least try and utilize you in some other part of the company.
Yeah.
The guy could be a great trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, because, you know, he kept wanting, I want to go back with Del Rio.
He wasn't getting his way, so he said, okay, I'm going to take my ball and pull a CM Punk.
Yeah, exactly. and then turns around, you know, a couple of days later or whatever, oh, Triple H is racist. He referred to me as a bumblebee. So fucking what?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Bumblebee Man's a very popular mm-hmm. character on The Simpsons. You yeah, don't see that one getting, you know, you don't see people picketing Fox for being racist. Oh, wait. No, that's a bad company to... that's a bad company to be an example. Bad example.
Bad example, mate. Funny as hell, though.
There's nothing inherently racist about, you know, about any bumblebee. You know? Yeah, you look at the Transformers movie, that bumblebee's probably the one non-racist thing in the whole thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's the bumblebee that makes Michael Bay billions.
Well, it makes Hasbro billions.
Michael Bay just rides on the coattails with the rights. So, yeah. No, actually, let's face it. In WWE/WWWF, the last truly racist person that we can honestly state unequivocally was Vince McMahon Sr. And since then, I can't say that there's been any real bigotry since then. Since Vince Jr. took it over from his dad.
But at the same time, you still have the claims of WWE have never actually had a black world champion.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, you know, they just forget the, you know,
I don't
Mark
think
Henry.
Any, yeah, I don't, well, I don't think anyone is genuinely racist in management for WWE. I haven't seen any actual proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for years, and this, you know, this is going back long, long time. Cause, you know, cause this is old hat at one point. WWE has never shied away from using race to get someone over as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right
well,
now
they're doing
we have,
it right now with Rusev.
Yeah, yeah, they're doing it right now. Rusev. He's from Russia. Boo.
Well, he's from Bulgaria, but
Muhammad Hassan. Boo. Yeah. Middle East. Boo.
Mm-hmm. Let's see who else. The Iron Sheik.
Nikolai Volkov.
General Adnan.
Russian 1.0.
You know.
It's just for years, like even like now, you know, we should be past that. It should be as simple as, oh, well, he's not white. Boo him.
Mm.
Well, it's not even really that. Like, especially in wrestling, it's not really race. It's more he's not American. Boo him. You know, I could go over there, and I'd be a heel. Why? Because I'm an Australian. I'm not American. Boo!
No, as an Australian, they'd probably make you a baby face to start.
Fuck no.
You would say, no, I don't want to do that. As for your release.
Fuck off. Fuck off. I work heel.
You'll be in WWE, be stuck in khakis, sticking your foot up, sticking your like finger up Hornswoggle's ass.
No, they'd probably give me some really, really bad cut-off shorts and put me in a tag team that'll go nowhere. Oh, wait, no, they're already doing that to somebody else.
Hey, they can make you Undertaker's tag team partner.
Sure, I could push the wheelchair.
Mm. Sure, why not? Anyway, I think it's time we moved on and actually talked a little bit more about Dean Ambrose. What do you guys think?
I'd like to take a break because I need some water.
You want to take a break? All right, everybody, we're going to take a break because Mace, who lives on an island, needs water. You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WTR, Sunday night, don't go anywhere. We're waiting for the... Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I was wasting enough time for the producer to like wake up and actually play some shit. We'll be back right on the other side of this timeout. You got 5 minutes. Go get your libations and come on back.
Nothing I won't do. Nothing like the pain I feel for you. Nothing left to face. There's nothing left to lose. Nothing takes your place. When they say
every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down to the Dean Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top cigarette butts and bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter I, you know, Q-I-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch. L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air, at X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air, every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite total divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the total divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Back, WTR, Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in this evening, whether you're in the chat room or not, and I happen to know for a fact we got a lot of people listening on our TuneIn app on your smartphone. If you haven't got it yet and you want to catch any of the Wild Talk Radio Network programming while you're on the go, just download the app for either Android or iPhones. And do a quick search for Wild Talk Radio, and you'll find us. You can hear anything that's going on any night of the week that we stream live. That's the TuneIn app, TuneIn.com, I think it is, if you're on the internets with your computer. And, yeah, that's really good. But talking about thanking people, I would really like to thank the people at Shopping Cart Buddy. And there's a reason I want to thank them. They gave me a Shopping Cart Buddy. I bet you guys have never heard of this, have you?
I have cake, so I don't care.
You have cake, so you don't care. Where did you get the cake? Is it store-bought?
It was made for my stepfather's 50th birthday over the weekend.
Oh, well, congratulations to your stepfather having his 50th birthday and having cake and stuff like that. But, no, this thing is really cool. It's called Shopping Cart Buddy. It's a, it's a foldable shopping cart. You take it with you to the grocery store. You don't have to worry about, fishing for, four quarters or whatever, in your pocket or ladies in your purse or anything like that to get one of their shopping buggies that have the wobbly wheel. You just take this thing, unfold it, open it right up, do your shopping, throw all of your groceries into the cart, go through the checkout, put them all back in the cart, wheel it to the car, unload it, fold it right back up again, and put it in your back seat or your trunk. Really folds down to a nice convenient size. This is a great little thing. You're going to probably hear a little bit more about it, or at least you'll see a little bit about it on the WTR websites in the very near future. So I'm just saying thank you very much. That was a very nice gift given to me. I guess it was maybe a belated birthday present, but whatever the reason, I'm very appreciative. That was awesome. So thanks again. For the shopping cart buddy. That being said, why don't we just dive into Dean Ambrose talk?
Fucking Madman.
What? Because you cut out.
Okay, we can talk Madman.
Yes, yes, yes. Ambrose Unleashed. Now we've kind of seen him become the number two babyface over the last couple of weeks in the company. Having fun with what's going on with Dean Ambrose, guys?
Yeah. Hey, so far, they're really working the lunatic thing.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they are working him with the lunatic gimmick because it does keep him very unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he feels like a character where they could get away with anything. You know, how the hell did he get out of the closet he got locked in?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Portals.
Well, as far as being locked in the closet, I'm really glad that they didn't, like, just make no mention of it when he showed up underneath that black thing that Kane lifted up. And
it was really nice of the announcers to pretend they didn't notice Dean until he had actually jumped from his position.
Yeah, it would be kind of hard for them to miss that. But, you know, the juxtaposition of Kane, you know, with his back to the announce table. At least, I think it was JBL, at least JBL asked the question, how did he get out of the closet?
Or he must be training with Batman. Good thing is, you could say Dean Ambrose has been training with Batman, and it makes all logical sense.
At this point in time, most possible.
Like even like when he was doing the t-shirt thing in the middle of the ring, he grabs one of his own t-shirts. It's like unstable. I'm not unstable. Throws the t-shirt away.
So, yeah, it was like I was saying at the top of the show, he was my win for the week, for this past week, win-fail. I'm just really enjoying what's going on, and I thoroughly, at least into the at up to this point in time, thoroughly disagree with anybody who says that he's not ready to main event.
Mm.
I mean, you can't just thrust him in there. You got to build up to it like everybody else. But once you build him up to it, I think he's ready.
Well, once you build up anyone to the main event, they're ready for it. I mean, technically, that is a very blanket statement.
Yeah, well, okay.
Just to point that out. I do think he has the potential for it. A lot more than a lot of people they've tried pushing to that position.
Well, look at him and look at Cena. Who are people going to more readily back you number one babyface or Ambrose?
Well, it's Cena, so they're going to back whoever's new.
Whoever's not Cena.
Am I wrong?
No, not really.
CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns?
Mm-hmm. So, speaking about John Cena, it looks like he and Dean Ambrose are on a bit of a collision course over the right to face Seth Rollins. What the hell is John Cena doing in this feud? It's diluting it, isn't it?
Because there's no Brock Lesnar there at the moment, and Roman Reigns got injured.
And how pissy is it that Brock Lesnar's not going to be at Hell in a Cell?
It's slightly disappointing, but at the same time, we have seen, you know, particularly Ambrose and Rollins both step up in the absence of, you know, a guy like Brock Lesnar there to carry the card.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things of, it's nice to see them trying new guys rather than just falling back on quick Cena versus Orton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a point there. It's just this whole thing with Cena in the feud. I can understand why they got Cena all mad at Seth Rollins and wanting to F5 him. Because, let's face it, he cost John Cena potentially the WWE World Heavyweight Championship title at the Night of Champions. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. This still, with Cena in the mix, feels as forced as the Bella Twins feud to me.
And nobody's really going to disagree with you there, Tim.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But,
yeah, without a secondary credible heel to go up against Cena, they've got to do something with him.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to put him in with the younger guys just to keep him floating around that main event scene.
Well, yeah, I suppose they will. And that does that lead to a triple threat at the next pay-per-view later this month?
I hope not. But then again, I also hope that they don't do what they're, like the rumors have been saying that's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
that they're gonna have Dean versus Cena, with the loser going on to face Randy Orton at the pay-per-view, the winner goes on to take on Rollins in Hell in a Cell.
Which means, wait, hurry, let's put Cena and Orton together.
Yeah, I don't want to see that for the 8,000th time.
Yeah,
but
no,
at the same time, I don't want to see Cena and Rollins either.
No.
I love how it's being stated. The winner actually gets Seth Rollins. Yay! If you lose, you have to face Orton. No!
Yeah, you know, just that, like, at some point in time, are they going to wake up and say, oh, shit. or will Randy say, what do you mean the loser gets me? Right? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. I don't know. I guess we're stuck with it just because they don't want to pay Brock Lesnar any extra money to, you know, actually show up in WWE with the title like the champion should. He doesn't have to be there for every Raw and every SmackDown, and you can have Paul Heyman as his advocate speaking in his place.
See,
right,
at least Brock has an advocate.
Yeah.
At least Brock has an advocate. He has a voice on the show. He's not bringing it via satellite, unlike some champions I might mention.
Ooh, that was a shot. If you smell what Mace is cooking. And that was a hint, by the way.
Thank you.
But
didn't pick up on it.
Yeah, well, just some people might not, Omega. And I'm just, you know, catering to the casual fan. That was funny to me, and I don't know why. But anyway, now I've totally lost track of what my point was going to be. Getting a little bit too sidetracked. Shouldn't your WWE title holder actually be at every pay-per-view, even if he's not on every TV program every week?
No, not really.
No, why not?
this could come from the fact of the old school style of booking that I love so much.
Yeah.
But you remember when your champion would only defend maybe once every second or third month?
Well,
and even then, it was on a big card. It was on, you know, something that was built up as like a territory's WrestleMania or something like that. You know, it made the champion coming and being a part of the show this gigantic deal. How do you make him become the big deal? You don't put him out there for free.
Well, but at the same time, and you want to talk old school, look at what they did with Hogan. Hogan would do a TV appearance once in a while, and all he did was cut a promo. He never wrestled on television. And that's because if you want to see him, you come to the house show. That's where the money was. And he wrestled at every Saturday night or Sunday night house show that WWE put on, and he defended the title at the house shows. And, you know, like back in the Hogan heyday, there was, when he had the title, practically never a house show that he missed. And, you know, like having Heyman speak for Lesnar, I'm happy with that because, let's face it, we all love Paul Heyman. And he is absolute money on the mic. And we don't need to see Brock Lesnar on TV. Except maybe for the final Raw before the pay-per-view or this final SmackDown before the pay-per-view, one of the two shows. But he's the title holder. That title loses more meaning to me when it's not being defended at the major events.
Unfortunately, this is going to be one of those situations where it's like we sort of can't win.
Yeah. This is just what happens when you rent your champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't really have much of a choice as far as that goes. What are you going to do? So we're stuck with it until they get this all worked out, because I still say that things have been buggered up since Daniel Bryan's abrupt departure after WrestleMania with his shoulder injury. And we're seeing something that's never would have happened. You know, all of the stuff we're putting up with now never would have happened, like in the main event picture. Never would have happened if Daniel Bryan wasn't injured and didn't need all of that surgery and shit.
So. Daniel Bryan's injury and then Roman Reigns getting injured as well. Mm-hmm. Those two things have had a greater effect on the company because they had plans and then they had a backup plan and the backup plans now failed and they have no idea what they're doing at this point.
Yeah, so it kind of just makes me roll my eyes a little bit. I mean, we've been getting some stellar Raw programming all year. We've had some dogs, sure, naturally. They can't all be the greatest things in sliced bread. But it just seems that lately they have reverted like crazy after just tearing up Monday nights. They've backslid in the last, month and a half? 2 months?
Yeah, they, as I said, they've panicked. Mm-hmm. And they're still in that panic mode. You know, because they don't have a situation where it's, you know, back in the 90s, if they had somebody like a Brock Lesnar that you were paying to show up per appearance, Vince doesn't exactly have the right to turn around and go, "Hey, Brock, here's a mill. Come on the show."
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got to answer to his investors. He's got to answer to the bottom line.
Yep.
He isn't as free to make those decisions anymore. So he's having to fall back on what he's got built up. And unfortunately, when you look in that box that says built up characters, all you see is a little John Cena there going, "Hi."
And a little Randy Orton trying to climb into the box.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's what it is. We're going to get a great match between Rollins and Ambrose, and then we have to put up with Cena in the mix. I see a triple threat at Hell in a Cell inside a steel cage.
Just give me Dean and Seth one-on-one in a Hell in a Cell match where they can go nuts.
Well, of course.
And I'm happy.
That's what we want, but...
Ironically, John Cena is going to end up being the Nikki Bella in the situation where you just wait for him to get thrown out of the ring so the real wrestlers can go at it.
I wouldn't be surprised, and as a matter of fact, I'd be happy if that were to happen, if they launch him out and he has to pretend to have an injury to be out of most of the match just so we can enjoy Rollins and Ambrose pretend beating each other up.
You know what would be hysterical? And this would, this would make me a big fan of the triple threat. All three come out. Hell in the Cell starts to lower. Both of them gang up on Cena and boot him out just as the cell closes down.
And then Cena spends the entire match trying to get in but can't.
Yeah.
I see no fault in your logic. Let's do it.
I'm sorry. You just put a great big grin on my face. I'm smiling now. Please, make it happen.
Except you know what's going to happen. It's like as soon as the match gets really, really interesting, Cena's going to rip the door off the hinges and climb in and get the 1-2-3.
Cena cannot be allowed to win this match. This opposed match.
You've got Superman going up against two mere mortals, so we're not going to have much of a choice.
Well, it just totally just. I'm sorry, it ruins everything. If Cena winds up winning the match and getting a pin, he doesn't need it. To hell with it. Screw it. He can do the job. For the betterment of these other few guys, as far as I'm concerned. But with that being said, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens tomorrow night with Dean Ambrose. Any speculation on your part, guys?
More crazy promos.
Yay!
More minor felonies.
Slightly more major than last week.
Oh, you gotta ramp it up.
Well, of course. I mean, you can't just take a step backwards. Hint, hint, but WWE.
We've still got to have the resolution to the great storyline of, will the taxi driver be paid?
Yes, he still hasn't gotten his money, has he?
Nope.
Oh, shit, yeah. Moving on. I just can't wait to hear Mace's reaction to this. Looks like The Rock is attached to the Baywatch movie. Edgy, raunchy, and hopefully funny as hell. And that's a quote from The Rock.
I've seen enough movies of The Rock in barren wastelands of sand.
Scorpion.
I've seen enough of The Rock in like little
anything.
Undies stuff. Yeah. I can pass on this one quite well.
Well, yeah, it's bad enough they're making a Baywatch movie. Now they're sticking Dwayne Johnson in to take over David Hasselhoff's role.
See, now there's your problem. You're making a Baywatch film without David Hasselhoff, so there's no interest whatsoever from anybody on the planet.
That's almost like making a Star Trek movie without William Shatner.
I'm expecting riots in Germany when this Baywatch remake thing comes out.
Oh my God! They'll build another wall.
Yeah, around every cinema, not allowing the work print to get in.
Mr. Gorbachev, put that wall back up. Wait a minute. Never mind. So yeah. There are a lot of movies I'm looking forward to in the next year. This isn't going to be one of them.
Pixar is bringing out a new movie this year.
Oh, what is it?
That makes everything good.
What was it? Something Inside.
An indoor movie. Ooh.
Well, give me a minute.
We're waiting.
Inside Out.
Inside Out.
Ah, right.
Yeah, it's Pixar, so it's like automatic win.
So they're taking a Kevin Klein. No, wait a second. That's In and Out. Never mind.
The fact that we're getting Taken 3 this year. Either this year or next year.
Oh, don't even talk about the Taken franchise, because I'm pissed off at Taken 2. They missed a perfect opportunity in that movie.
No, but it's like, okay, a third movie where the guy's kid's going to be taken. How stupid of a parent are you at this stage?
I mean, yeah, exactly. But the perfect opportunity from Taken 2 is like, listen to me. Get under the bed. They're going to take your mother. Right there. A perfect line for the movie, and it's the movie title, you know, in the movie, you're going to be taken too.
Hey, hey, hey.
That would be almost as good as Samuel Jackson proclaiming loudly and clearly that he's tired of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. That was a bad movie. It's worth watching just because it's so bad. Back to wrestling talk. What?
Oh, God, no.
Wait, before
I'm not even going to say it because it's a worse Taken joke than you made.
What? Tell me. Come on.
No.
Come on.
No.
Please. I'll send you some.
Let's go to the next bad joke on our format. Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling.
The first pay-per-view will be New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom show in January. And we're all going to watch, aren't we, kids?
I watch the Wrestle Kingdom show every year. It's always fan-fucking-tastic.
Global Force Wrestling, is that really anything we're going to need to pay attention to in the future?
Not really.
I don't see it. I really don't. So, yeah, you know, like, Jeff, prove us wrong and put out a good product that actually, you know, gets advertising and puts on a good show that makes sense, and we'll start paying attention to you.
But yeah, put on your own show, not steal a show from your... another country.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's all I want to talk about Global Force Wrestling. You guys heard about Hogan's nephew?
Yeah, what's chilling Horace out doing? The Hogan name.
One at a time. What was that, Omega?
What's Horace doing now?
Yeah, not Horace. It's a different nephew.
Oh.
Now, what did you say, Mace?
No, it doesn't matter.
Well, kind of it does, but okay, we'll move on.
No, it doesn't. Omega's just trumped me.
Oh, okay. If he trumped you, forget it.
Shit, he remembered Horace Hogan. Fuck.
Yeah, well, who could forget Horace Hogan from WCW? Anyway, this guy's calling himself King David Hogan. Hulk Hogan says that what he's doing is an absolute total disgrace to the Hogan name. The kid has no right to use the Hogan name. He plans to sue his own nephew. Now, here's the situation. It's a reality TV show that he's hosting, and the show is called My Girlfriend Wants a Girlfriend, Omega.
Wait, why do you throw it to me?
Because I wanted your reaction to that. Because I kind of think I know what Mace's would be, but I wanted yours. So... but the show is basically, it's 16 bisexual women competing to be David Hogan's girlfriend's girlfriend.
Can't be any worse than Flavor of Love.
Another reality show where anyone will fuck anyone.
Pretty much. So, yeah. Ew, excuse me. But
just an excuse to have lesbians on TV.
Why do you need an excuse to have... lesbians on TV. Just put them on. People will watch.
Tell that to Eric Bischoff.
Well, that's... I don't know. Eric Bischoff did it wrong. Let's face it.
Oh,
if he did that in 1997...
The guy almost
in WCW, took down...
the
it would have worked.
The guy almost took down WWF. And then later on, he can't even get lesbians right. how the mighty have fallen.
Exactly. Oh, my God. So, you've got a point.
But I don't know how Hogan, how Hulk Hogan can be upset with the way things have been going with the nephew.
Yeah.
Have you seen what Hogan himself has hauled out to lately?
Okay. We need a list here. We need a list here. Okay, so Hogan's saying, oh, this is a disgrace to the Hogan name. Okay. Hogan knows best.
Yeah.
Brooke Hogan's album.
Brooke Hogan herself.
Brooke Hogan herself. Hulk Hogan lotioning his own daughter's back. Nick Hogan.
Oh, God.
Pastamania.
Pastamania. Hogan celebrity wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hulk Hogan Connect video game for the Xbox 360. That a lot of people have conveniently forgot. And let's not discount Hogan's latest foray into video games. He is a special event in the terrible Crazy Taxi sequel. For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, there is one of those, they call them an Infinite Runner game, but it's based around Crazy Taxi. It's like called Crazy Taxi City Rush or something like that. They have made a special event for the next, I think it's a month or two, where you can have Hulk Hogan driving your taxi and pimp out your taxi with specialized Hulk Hogan gear, including a gigantic mustache to put on the front of the car.
Oh, God.
That's Hogan's latest endeavor.
Jesus.
And yet he's going his nephew, saying his nephew is doing wrong to the brand.
Well, which one of them has a sex tape again?
Yeah, it's Hulk Hogan. But that was a reluctant sex tape because it was filmed by Bubba the Love Sponge without Hogan knowing about it.
Still worse than what King Hogan wants.
Yeah, well, you know, seeing as we're talking about Hogan sex tape, apparently.
No, I don't know where this, I don't know where the segue is going, but I don't want to follow it.
Well, no, it's okay, because it's tamer than you think it's going to be, just because of the way I built it up. With all of this cloud hacking and these nude celebrity photos being put up on Reddit by this anonymous hacker, turns out that apparently Nick Hogan is one of the latest quasi-celebrities to have his cell phone hacked with photos making their way onto the interwebs. Apparently, a lot of naked pictures of women, as well as photos of Nick himself sporting a grill. Nick with a grill, can you believe it?
Now, he's just wrecked grills.
Now, there you go. Here's something that just has me shuddering, and I'm worried, but there are photos of his sister, Brooke, that were on the phone.
Yeah, that's scary as fuck.
Yeah, and you're just kind of worried about what the photos. But he also had pictures of his mother, Linda. Not only that, he had pictures of the Big Show's bare ass mooning the camera. Something you don't want. Something you should.
Here's the thing. That one doesn't scare me as much.
Yeah. I've seen those segments.
Exactly.
Man's head there.
Well, we've
seen the Big Show's ass before. It doesn't surprise us. I'm quite sure that if we went and contacted in anybody in the WWE, they would just call that a Friday night at the bar.
Possibly. Okay. But still, the rest of it, just it's creepy. Guys, it's creepy.
I'm just gonna I really want to pretend that he really liked to loan his phone out and just try to sleep at night.
You know what? I think maybe we should take our next break because I think I want to grab some toothpaste and get rid of this taste in my mouth after talking about this. Ugh. Everybody, you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. Go ahead and refresh your beverages. Talk to you in a minute.
Okay. Hey. What it do? I hear the commentators on the side chatterboxing. Power wildin', Brooke got all the paparazzi watching. I hear them jaw jappin', bumpin' guns, chasing crumbs. We ain't concerned with them bums, we accumulating funds. Flash the wrist, got the Johnny Dane watch froze. 5K, vivid Yellowstone in my earlobe. I'm squashing chatter when the light hit the pinky ring. Starts to clean, white cup full of lean. See me in the new Benz, cause I'm also ballin'. Oh, old school slag with the fifth wheel fallin'. We got them talking, but really they ain't saying too much, just speculating with that gossip. Truth is, they don't know.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, Yes, Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks, and What's Up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena Sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? They're great.
Great. I love these picks.
Sub, you picked Yes, Yes, Yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel O'Brien.
Yeah!
why did I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan. Yes, yes, yes. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he took the snake charmer. No.
Ah!
No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one. Today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a wrong problem? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
Alright, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were poor and poor. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my mind, my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
The reason you cry.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, www.wildtalkradio.com. Special thanks to PW Mania. Are they still streaming us, like, simulcast? They are. That's awesome. And, of course, they post up stuff for us on a regular basis, which is really nice of them. www.pwmania.com for all your wrestling news. Hey, look at me. I'm just plugging away tonight. Wow. Guys, I think Luke Harper is being set free.
And some of the network are not happy about it.
Really, really unhappy?
Really unhappy.
How unhappy?
Is there a Richter scale
on a scale of 1 to 15.
Holy fuck.
I mean, is that a good idea?
I don't really think so, honestly. I mean, the Wyatt family works so well together. We really haven't seen, aside from being able to cut an occasional promo, we really haven't seen anything out of Luke that would indicate that he is ready to go alone. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what you do with him by himself.
What I want to know, why WWE insists on splitting up groups, tag teams, or factions that they put together and are having extreme success with.
I'm sure a lot of it is writer fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
They have an idea, they run with it, and then they get bored of it. You know, look at Los Matadores, you know? You know, now the Bull is more over than they are.
Well, I think the Bull is kind of a little bit more over than they were right from the outset.
But it's one of those little fun ideas they had. Hey, they had this entrance with the Bull head on the Titantron and the smoke spewing out. And oh, isn't that clever? Which I'll give that. It's kind of clever. You know, the same thing with the Brodus Clay.
Mm-hmm. Someone, you know, 1 week someone thought it was a really funny idea, and then just turn around and go, well, that was a stupid idea.
Well, you know,
we can't go anywhere with that.
2020 hindsight only works if you pay attention to it. Just saying.
This is the WWE. When do they learn from their past?
Not very damn often. That's for damn sure. But at this point in time, splitting up the Wyatt family, we all knew that the Shield was going to break up. And this is one of the few things that actually, you know, one of the few breakups that's actually going to work, at least in the midterm. The Wyatt family, splitting them up, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense. Because, you know, Bray, especially for Bray, because Bray is a cult leader. That's what the Wyatt family is. It is one of those weird cults in the backwaters of Bumblefuck somewhere in Forestland. You know, it's...
Fuck, that's offensive.
Really? I'm offensive? Never fucking knew that.
politically incorrect, I'm proud, since 19-whatever.
1983. Yeah, but basically, yeah, the Wyatt family is that brainwashed mentality. Without followers, Bray's got nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as good as Harper and Rowan are as a tag team, they're not really at a point where they've got characters that can stand single competition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Luke's only just starting to show some personality, and even that's flatter than a brick.
Yeah.
And yet they want to give him a singles run. No. Bad idea.
No. Can they give him more singles action and keep the Wyatt family together?
If they had a run of him doing singles with Bray there, you know, like as the puppet master, as the guy there saying, you know, yeah, destroy him and all that, not a problem. Mm-hmm. But to separate him from Bray and go, here, we're going to give you a singles run, they're going to find that the character is deadpan and the wrestling just isn't going to be there. And they're going to give up on him real quickly and probably send him back to NXT.
Well,
or very quickly bring back under Bray's control.
I was going to ask how soon after they split him up will he be the next release from WWE?
I wish they wouldn't do that type of thing. Like, if they want him to be a singles guy, ship him back down to NXT for a while and try a new gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shave the beard, get a haircut or something, and repackage him. Not separate him off where he's in a situation that's pretty much doomed to fail from step one. You know, they need him to develop a character before putting him out there, or else there's going to be no connection with the fans. There's going to...
The other big part about this is they want, the rumor is that they want Bray to go face. Which already concerns me right from the get-go. You know, the only thing.
Fuck move.
I give it a chance only because he needs some new opponents. And the crowd wants to cheer for him anyway.
Let the crowd cheer for him. You don't have to turn him face for that.
Well, yeah. It feels more like a way, like... Unfortunately, it feels like Eric and Luke are both being shaved off just so Bray can make a face turn while they remain heel. And if that's the case, I'd rather them stay a tag team so we can actually have a tag team division.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I guess.
Someone else can talk. Well, it's not one of those things. It's just, yeah, we've all in agreement. It's like, well, you're not going to say anything that we're really going to disagree against. So,
yeah. hard to disagree with it. Yeah, this is not something we can have a debate or argument about. That's all there is to it. this coming Friday marks SmackDown's 15th year on the air. Do you guys have a favorite SmackDown moment?
Is it going to give people a heart attack if I actually say yes?
You.
It might.
Yeah, me, the guy who no longer watches SmackDown, actually has a couple of good SmackDown moments. Just everybody, just calm down and breathe. It's okay.
I'm waiting with anticipation.
Well, you got to go the ultimate classic with SmackDown. Stone Cold Steve Austin and Booker T in the Supermarket Brawl.
Okay, yeah, no, that was good.
Yeah. Other than that, you had the superplex off the top rope between Brock Lesnar and the Big Show that broke the ring for the first time. The first time when it actually looked really fucking impressive.
Well, that's my number one moment right there.
Yeah, as opposed to the 8,000 other times where they've attempted it and just looks like shit.
Yep.
And the other one, well, the other two, basically, the night after Eddie Guerrero won the title in, I think it was 2004?
No Way Out 2004.
Yeah, the night that SmackDown, his celebration.
Yeah,
you really got into it because how many of us were really big Eddie Guerrero fans at that point in time? Yeah, and knew that the guy had never gotten anywhere higher than a US title or a mid card title. To finally see him with the belt was great.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, my last one's on a bit of a down note would be the Eddie Guerrero tribute SmackDown.
Yeah, that's a bit of a downer.
It's a tearjerker.
Well, you know, one thing that I would add to the list, at least on my part, would definitely be when Brock Lesnar's out on SmackDown and he's the world heavyweight champion or whatever, and you know, all talk and tough and everything, out comes John Cena in his rapper gimmick and cuts the promo on Lesnar where he introduces the FU. Because that, let's face it, that's when everybody liked John Cena and John Cena was watchable.
Yeah, if you also want to go John Cena moments, his debut against Kurt Angle on SmackDown.
Right. Well, yeah, throw that in. Omega, do you have anything to add?
Not especially. I mean, some of my favorites have been already mentioned. I think Eddie's celebration after his title win, that was probably the big one for me.
Yeah. You know, I think that collectively speaking, all three of us have very similar tastes in WWE programming. Shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. We actually prefer it to be good. How dare we?
Yeah, there's a point proven or taken right there. Absolutely. So, yeah. So, happy 15th anniversary to SmackDown. Let's talk a little bit about Rusev before we get into our final couple of segments of the night. He's been facing guys in increasing size, I guess you could say it. First main opponent, really, was Jack Swagger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's getting behind Jack Swagger, and Jack Swagger is we the people representing America and getting his ass handed to him. Out comes Mark Henry, and it's the whole Mark Henry is the world's strongest man, but he sucks at the Olympic Games and loses to Russians all over again. And now it's the big show.
Are these building him up.
Yeah. Are these the right opponents at this point in time for Rusev?
It's kind of a monster push. And if you really think about who he's beating, they're all former world champions. Even, you know, even a Swagger didn't deserve his. And yet they just keep getting bigger and bigger. You know, it is to the point where, you know, they're I'm going to take the mace role here and say they're building him up to feed to Cena.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like how they built up Giant in WCW at first.
Mm-hmm.
Where he just comes in, no one can beat him for whatever reason. And then instead of making a hero out of whoever can, you know, finally topple the undefeatable, it's just going to go to make someone look good or, you know, someone who doesn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels that way.
Well, what if they put him up against Brock Lesnar? And Brock Lesnar is the guy who finally stops him.
They already ruined their chance to make him look indomitable.
Mm-hmm.
Guy almost gets beaten instead of coming back like the fucking Terminator. And he runs off and we're not going to see him for over a month.
Okay, now that I've got the Terminator thing stuck in my head, thanks. Seriously, I do now. It's just... you know? Shit. Yeah, I don't know. You throw Mark Henry and the Big Show.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, that's the one. But you throw Mark Henry and Big Show up against Rusev at this point in time and have Rusev come out on top, I think is wrong.
I can... Again, it's...
Oh, you bastard.
Good idea, Rock. Basically, yeah, as Omega's already said, it just sounds like they're building up to be sent towards the...
John Cena's pitch.
Yeah, to get him killed by Superman.
Being fattened up for the slaughter.
Yeah. You know what actually worries me more about these Rusev feuds?
What's that?
So far... Like, we've had the feud with Swagger. Swagger goes on to have a feud with Bo Dallas. Basically loses to Rusev, loses to Bo Dallas, then feuds with Bo Dallas. Mm-hmm. Now we've got Mark Henry, who's lost to Rusev, lost to Bo Dallas, sort of feuding with Bo Dallas right now. So does that mean we're going to soon have Big Show versus Bo Dallas, where Bo Dallas gets over the Big Show?
God, I hope not.
I believe it's going to happen. I believe.
Okay, you know what I think it's leading to is a feud between Mark Henry and Big Show.
Nah, too early.
Why? Better question.
They've
why?
Only been friends for 2 months.
But again, why? We've seen it. It's been there, done that. Why?
I know, but it's the WWE.
We've also seen John Cena versus Randy Orton 4,000 times, yet it still hasn't stopped them from putting it out every Monday night for the last 2 months.
Yeah, one's a good wrestling match, one's not a good wrestling match. There's a difference.
Yeah, but it's WWE, so a difference that makes no difference is no difference. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm tired of talking about Rusev. I'm ready to move on for the all-time greatest.
I am the greatest.
We have music now, because, you know.
Stop. Yeah, the Terminator music. I'm just waiting for the da-dum, da-dum.
You know,
oh, we've missed it already.
Anyway,
it comes back again, doesn't it?
Yeah, we'll let it...
Like
right at the end of the track.
Move it
Let's
forward,
get to the
then.
End of the track, Rock.
We'll be right back.
So the top rope brainbuster takes on the Razor's Edge. Who you terminating, Omega?
So, Crucifix Powerbomb.
Yeah.
Versus a top rope brainbuster, and I can't even remember who uses a top rope brainbuster.
Your research. People do. It was suggested that we use it.
Roderick Strong. Basically, go to ROH. That's where it was used a lot.
El Generico, you know. Also used as well. So.
Now, I'm a fan of the Razor's Edge. You're basically, you're basically power bombing someone straight onto their neck while their arms are completely helpless. I mean, it's a good solid looking move.
Can I just have a moment to? I wish to give Omega a little bit of persuasion.
But he says it drops a guy on his neck. This year, dropping a dude on his head. Just saying.
Hang on.
Yeah, what's the move before you make a final judgment, sir?
He's looking for the top rope brainbuster.
Oh,
right,
God!
Changing your mind?
Do you wish to follow through?
I had no idea ROH was Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, essentially. That's what it is.
They both have super kicks. Anyway. For those wondering, the New England Patriots beat the Bengals 43-17 as we give Omega time to stall as he thinks.
And no, I'm still going Razor's Edge. Clip. Still
really?
Going Razor's Edge.
Wow, okay.
Alright, man.
Okay, yeah, because it looks like he fucking killed him. I will give you credit. I think any move done like that is going to look like it killed him, though. Basically, it's a normal move just done on the top rope directly into the turnbuckle. You can figure out how to do a Razor's Edge that same way. It'd be the exact same thing.
Just not going to say it.
All right, Mace, you're up.
Yeah, I'm going Brainbuster.
I'm so shocked. Why?
Why? Because it's brutal as fuck and I love it. That was the move where I can remember sitting here with Rock when they did a trailer for the DLC pack that they included that in for WWE 13, and Rock and I both sitting here going, "Holy fuck!"
Yeah. All right. All right, Tim, break the tie.
Well, before I break the tie, Rock, I'm going to ask you to guess which one you think I might wind up picking.
You're picking the Razor's Edge.
Why would you think that?
Because of Rick Tame.
Absolutely not. And I'll tell you, one of the main reasons why absolutely not is because when done well, the Crucifix Powerbomb looks good. It does. I mean, Scott Hall basically did it to perfection. Sheamus does it well. Rick Titan? He's a friend. Yeah, he's a dear friend of mine, so I can get away with saying this. Rick Titan, Crucifix Powerbomb, they just don't go together. You know what I mean.
Yeah, we know what you mean, Tim.
Yeah, so I'm picking the top rope brainbuster.
So it's going to be on the dirt sheets. Tim Stein of WrestleTalk Radio says Rick Titan does a bad Crucifix Powerbomb.
Agrees with Bret Hart. Yes, yeah, says Razor Rick Titan sucks.
Sources tell us. See, we
4 out of 10.
Four out of 10. We need to get a Reddit account, and then we can create rumors, because that's what they do. Because a Reddit user is predicting that Sting is going to return to debut in WWE for the road to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Man, no one else has said this at all.
Yeah, but the difference is this anonymous, this certain Reddit user apparently has broken insider and WWE information very accurately in the past.
What kind of marine mammal is this one named after?
Bet's,
I don't know.
Bet's fan forever or something like that. Yeah.
We'll see how that guy does, because he's also predicted that the Bellas will be in a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah, that was the other. So we'll see. Anyway, Top Rope Brainbuster moves on. Manda McClaw versus the Crossface.
I'm going to Mandible Claw. I don't know what it is, but it is a paralyzing move, as Foley himself describes it. And it's just one of those ones that I could never work out how it worked. Like, it was using specific pressure points and everything else, but I could never work out how to get it to work proper.
Mm-hmm.
Without somebody, like, biting your fingers off. Oh my god, and by the way, Tim, you are so right about Rick.
Oh, you watching it, did you?
I'm watching a match he had against Savio Vega. Oh my god. No.
Like, don't get me wrong, I love Rick. He's a great guy. And when he wrestles his moves, he's okay.
You want to know what's even worse? Glenn doing the jackknife.
Yeah, that was pretty pathetic, too.
Oh my god, that was terrible. The Mandible Claw just really seemed like one of those moves that is extremely effective, and it seems that it takes a lot of skill to actually use it properly, even though it has one of the easiest counters in wrestling, which would be just bite the fingers. I guess that's why he added the sock.
Yeah.
Omega.
I hate the Mandible Claw. I really, really hate that move. It's, you know, Mace is right. It looks like it's got the easiest counter ever. Just bite. And you know what? Your arms are completely open. Your legs are completely open. You can step backward and probably get away from it at some point. I just never understood. Like, I know it's like a pressure points, a paralysis, da 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 da. It's not the Vulcan neck pinch. Your no, shit does. You don't lose your shit immediately.
If that had made the list.
Who said it hasn't? We're still in the first round. And there's another 6,000 weeks to go.
True. Spoiler alert, it's not on the list.
Spoiler alert, it'll be added.
It's never lost a match. I'm a fan of the crossface.
Okay.
Because it wrenches the face, wrenches the neck, wrenches the shoulder. It looks like it hurts.
All right, Tim.
Well, I've never been a fan of the Mandible Claw either, but it's something that is so simple and easy once you know how to do it properly. As a matter of fact, I have performed the Mandible Claw on a couple of dogs, believe it or not, yappy, nippy, bitey little buggers, and all I did was I stuck my hand into the dog's mouth and squeezed down. So the thumb's underneath its jaw, you've got its tongue pinned down to the bottom of its jaw, and your thumb is coming up, and you're working at squeezing your fingers together. Every instinct any animal has is to try to shake your hand free. They will not bite down. It's just, it's a foreign reflex to bite down when you've got a hold of a creature's jaw like that. That being said, I don't like the move. What Omega said, I like the crossface just because of it looks like it probably does more damage overall.
So the crossface moves on. As we continue the conversation, and, you know, not debate, just the conversation, what the greatest finishing move of all time, and apparently WTR does not condone the use of the claw on dogs. This has been your PSA.
Says, oh, am I supposed to say that?
That's what anonymous
some Wild Talk Radio user. Yeah, you know, that's a self-defense tactic. Don't do it just because you want to pick on the dog and be abusive to the animals. I mean, treat animals with respect, and they will respect you back. However,
yeah, let them put the metal claw on you first.
Yeah, let them use the metal claw on you first 9 times out of 10. But hey, you know, some bitch coming to bite me, I'm gonna get it first. That's all there is to it.
Next week on the show, the Scorpion Deathlock versus the Camel Clutch, and the Sharpshooter battles the Ankle Lock.
I've been bitten by enough dogs. Never again.
I so wanted to come down to the Sharpshooter versus the Scorpion Deathlock.
Why do you
That'd
think
be kind of neat.
Why do you think they're paired close to one another? We can have that debate if it all goes well.
If we play our cards right, guys, we can do it. But that's manipulation. And we never manipulate anything here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, no.
No. Kane Kittens just manipulates some holy anyway.
What's wrong with Kane Kittens? Where the hell is Kane
A
Kittens?
Lot of things.
Omega got where we're going, so let's do quick hits.
Yeah, you guys playing Cards Against Humanity on Friday nights. There's something wrong with all of you.
Saturdays.
Well, whatever. There's still something wrong with
this
all of
you. This is why he never plays anymore.
He never knows the day.
Guys, I'm here. Where are you?
Hello.
Actually, it was kind of funny. Last Saturday night when I went over to Kate's place for that little party she had, pulls out the box, and I wound up playing Cards Against Humanity.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, let's start with Mace. Mace, if you were a member of the Wyatt family, what would your name be?
Bob.
You would be Bob Wyatt? Why?
Because why the hell not?
Okay. Tim, if you... No. Who has a better chance of winning something this year? The Cowboys or the Flames?
The better chance at winning something?
Winning something.
Anything?
Anything.
Like a game?
I reckon we make this harder. Who has a better chance of winning a championship?
The Calgary Flames.
You say the Flames, not the Cowboys?
There will be no championships for the Cowboys so long as Kane Kittens lives.
Wow. Okay, then.
With apologies to Star Trek IV.
Omega, if you were a member of the Wyatt family, what would your Wyatt name be? You can't use Bob.
Well, yeah, that took my answer. Damn.
SpongeBob.
SpongeBob.
SpongeBob Wyatt.
SpongeBob Wyatt. God, let's see. Once again, you've asked me something I have to consider, because guess what? I suck at naming anything. Yeah, I want to be Waylon Wyatt.
Why?
I don't know. I like the alliteration of it. I like that I can twist the meaning of it if I want to.
And that you can show no mercy?
I get that one.
Waylon Mercy.
Waylon, I've totally forgotten about him. Never mentioned Waylon Mercy ever again.
Well, he has the same look as Bray Wyatt. You think about it. Anyway, Tim. Oh, no, we start with Mace. Mace, if you could make anyone do anything, what would you make them do?
Give me money. Because I'm very broke right now, and I've got lots of things I want to buy.
Hey, wait a minute. I haven't even had a question yet, have I? I'm getting worried.
You did. You had the Flames. It was the Cowboys Flames question.
That was a quick hit? I didn't realize. I just thought you were asking me for conversation.
Anyway, next question.
Next question, please.
Tim, what's one word or phrase that you dread to hear?
Unacceptable.
Why?
It's unacceptable to use the word unacceptable.
Okay. And Omega, what's your favorite Disney Channel show?
Disney Channel show. So something specific to Disney Channel.
Uh-huh.
God, I'm trying to remember the last time I even watched the Disney Channel.
Well, it doesn't have to be new. It could be older one.
Well, yeah, well, technically the Disney Channel's run a crap ton of the old Disney stuff. I don't think that's in the spirit of the question. You just go with one of the reruns.
I don't, it doesn't matter. I said anything works, really.
Anything? Mm-hmm. No, I'll be fair and pick an original.
Hannah Montana.
No. Actually, I was going to go with Kim Possible.
Alright. That works. That's crickets.
That is the end of the show tonight. Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network is brought to you by me, because I'm paying for the website and the server. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, tomorrow night, immediately following WWE Raw, it is the Raw post show.
Yes, 11.
Right after wrestling.
11:10 p.m. Eastern. Lindsay and myself will recap Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. Speaking about Lindsay and myself, on Thursday night, it's The Rack, hosted by the Lindsay Award.
Yeah, go check out The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Go check out rockradioshow.com. Go back and listen to our interviews with the likes of Eva Marie, Brian Shields, and the Rated R superstar, Adam Edge Copeland, that we did all last month. And you never know what else will happen in the years to come. Check out rockradioshow.com. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRD_rack and facebook.com/WTRTheRack. And check out Lindsay on Behance at behance.net/LindsayWard, and that's her Twitter as well.
Yeah, Saturday night you play Cards Against Humanity, and that usually kicks off at what, 8 o'clock Eastern?
10 p.m. Eastern. Again, one of these days he'll figure this out. You've only been doing it for a while.
Well, I don't know. I don't play.
Well, you've been invited to play, you just don't play.
I just don't pay attention because I'm usually too busy when you invite me, so.
Yeah, you're so, so busy.
But after that, CB Radio, midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it.
Yeah, CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual football picks. We will continue the game we played from the movie game we played last night. And if you go back and listen to last night's episode, you can learn about the scrotal condom. Or the scrotal guard, as it's called. Check it out. CB Radio, midnight-ish. Follow us on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas.
You guys really talk weird shit on that thing on Saturday night.
That's why it's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual.
Just, it's strange.
I'll show you the picture of the scrotal guard later.
I don't want to see it. I don't.
You need to see it. You need to see it.
That's. That's fine. Of course, next Saturday night, next Sunday night, it's regular time, another edition of WrestleTalk Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Mountain, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Once again, big shout out and a thank you to the owners of the Shopping Cart Buddy. Getting that free Shopping Cart Buddy today was a very nice belated birthday present, and it'll get a lot of use. You're going to get a chance to have your very own Shopping Cart Buddy, and they're great. I'll tell you right now, for more than just, you know, taking to the store and putting your, getting your groceries. You got four wheels on them. All wheels are on swivels. And, hell, you can throw your tools in them and wheel them out to the car, work on your truck. It's a great thing to hold on to. That being said, follow me on Twitter at GoNHLGo. Also, follow me on Twitter at The Man Kitchen. Because I have two Twitters, so you can check that out.
Isn't it Man Kitchen TV Twitter?
At Man Kitchen TV? Yeah, I think it is.
So he doesn't even know his own Twitter. Jesus
Christ.
Well,
I haven't used it in the last week because there hasn't really been anything to talk about, but that's going to change very damn soon.
Liar.
If you want to know exactly what I'm talking about, you better follow it.
You're a liar because you retweeted tonight's shit thing.
Well, okay, that doesn't count because I did it off my phone. That's different. Don't be a jackass, because you're a jackass. You know that, right?
And you can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network and at WTR Sunday Night and Wrestle Talk Radio on Facebook.
Mace, did you get any new followers after that last week?
Nope, I actually lost some, so thank you, Tim.
You lost some? Fuck you, liar.
I'm not actually kidding. That I've lost. I've lost almost 10 in a week, thanks, dude.
That's not my fault. People follow the Mace thing on Twitter, goddammit. Don't make me look bad.
And if you want, and if you've got something else you want to take a look at, please, by all means, go to youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage. Guess what? I put up some new videos. I actually start raging like a lunatic in one of them, which I know everybody loves. So go watch the video.
That being said, Omega, did you plug? Are you going to plug? You should plug.
Should I plug?
Plug. Omega, plug. Plug right. It up. Plug it up.
Oh, plugging. Plug. Commencing plugging. Most of my stuff can be found over at TJ Omega on YouTube or tjomega.org for all the stuff that YouTube doesn't like me posting. And for social media stuff, it's TJ Reviews on Facebook and TJ Omega over on Twitter.
There you go. That being all taken care of, I think we're done, aren't we? We're done.
Possibly.
Possibly?
Quite possibly.
You got more to tell them?
No.
Well, then we're done. Everybody
Hold on.
What?
If you like hockey, join Tim's Fantasy Hockey League.
Oh, yeah, there are only 5 open slots available. If you want to play some fantasy hockey this season with me, Sorokin, King Kittens, and a bunch of other people, get in touch with me on Skype. It's WTR Sunday Night or Fire on Ice. And I'll give you the details on how you can join the Fantasy Hockey League draft day Tuesday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. So, yeah, there's only 5 spots left. Get involved.
Go fill up Tim's slots.
Bye, everybody.
Good night. That'll be 5 bucks.